Welcome to Chart Toppers, an astrology-themed podcast slash radio slash whatever you want it to be show. We're your hosts, Angela Bell
and Rachel Coe, and we're coming to you from the WJRH studio at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to Chart Toppers. I want to start out by thanking everyone. Angela and I got 50 downloads on our first episode, and like only half of those were the two of us, I think.
I only downloaded it like 40 times.
Shoot. Okay. Well, so thanks for the 9 of you that are listening, our international audience.
Maybe our one international listener and my mom make up those
downloads. Oh, true. I didn't tell my mom about this yet. I should tell her about it. She'll download it another 50 times. I want to see that first episode hit 100.
Okay. Well, that'll be our goal.
Okay. It's super arbitrary goal.
It is October 10th, 2018. I'm Angela Bell. You just heard
Rachel Coe.
And we have a guest in the studio, our very first guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Neha Vora. I'm a professor at Lafayette.
Cool. What do you teach there?
Anthropology.
Whoa.
You're on sabbatical this year, so we wanted to get you into the studio so people didn't forget that you're still around and still here to teach us.
Good plan.
Life.
Did you have to like sneak into the studio and like try not to be seen?
I came to campus and I was like, oh no, it's campus. I didn't associate the fact that I'm coming to this thing to campus. And then I was like, I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, we're here so that we're like at work, but not really working.
Yeah.
That's
right? Yeah. I don't feel that much like I'm at work.
Yeah. I mean,
but it's factually true that there are students of mine within probably 20 feet of us right now. So maybe that's, well, is what it is. So we're going to start out with our segment on the astrological event of the week. Angela, would you tell us a little bit about what that is?
So Neha, if this is your first time here, and for you listeners who are just joining us, you might not be one of the 50 first downloads, but hopefully hopefully you'll help us reach 100. But this week in the solar system, we are entering the new moon in Libra. That started on October 8th, which is 2 days ago, and that continues on until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that, or
just the new moon? Yeah, so the new moon happens instantaneously. That moon will stay in Libra, in the sign of Libra, for like 3 days. So the moon is presently in Libra, won't be anymore tomorrow, but the sky still looks pretty dark. And this is the second time that we've done a new moon or a full moon as like an astrological event, because one or the other of those things happens roughly every 2 weeks. Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Full moon or new moon. Yeah. And they always last 3 days.
Yeah. Great.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the new moon. The new moon asks us to take our grief and turn it into action. So last week we talked about Venus being in retrograde.
Yeah.
And so we dealt with a lot of hard times. We're still in retrograde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Neha, do you know what we're talking about at all?
I just know that you're not supposed to buy things when Mercury is in retrograde.
That is true. And we're entering a Mercury in retrograde in like 2 or 3 weeks, so we can revisit that topic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is a website called ismercuryinretrograde.com. If you go to that website right now, you would see that it says no, because Mercury is stationed direct. It's Venus that's in retrograde currently. We did a lot of processing about that last week in the episode we haven't released yet.
No, it drops today.
It drops today.
This will drop next week, which the listeners will have listened to it.
Totally.
And so what's going on with this new moon in Libra, Rachel?
So in general, like one of the ways that I first learned to think about like what's going on with the moon is a sort of a simple starting with like a sort of simple interpretation is that when there's a full moon, the moon is about to start waning, and so when the moon is full, I sort of like ask myself like, what am I gonna let go of in the coming couple of weeks, and thinking about like, what do I need to release? And then when it's a new moon, the moon's about to start waxing or getting bigger and bigger, and I like to ask like, what am I inviting in? What's the invitation? And so I think that what you said about turning grief into action really rings true, and that I'm like inviting, trying to sort of frame all of the like sadness I have about like what's going on outside of these studio walls, and use that as an invitation to action and an invitation to do something about that.
What do you think about that, Neha?
I think it makes a lot of sense, actually. But it seems like, I guess I don't really understand why it has to be with the moon.
That's a topic for a whole other podcast. Or maybe we should be teachers and kind of figure out that importance.
Yeah. that's an awesome question. I think that for me, it's sort of just like a meditation. Almost, it's like a place of ground, and it's as much meaning as I make it out to be. And so, to me, the like paying attention to what's happening in, you know, with the moon or with the stars is just an invitation to pause and reflect in a way that I would compare to maybe what some other people experience as like meditation.
I think that's really great. That's a great way to put it. It helps me understand it better.
We try to use this as like a guided reflection. We talk about astrology in terms of reflection and not as like prediction. So we want to put context into the things we're experiencing right now in life. So what kinds of things what are you trying to take in?
I started talking about like moving from a point of real sadness into a place of action. I'm wondering if you might talk a little bit about I talked a little bit about what the like new moon full moon cycle means to me. I'm wondering if you might contextualize that, like what does it mean for that moon to be in Libra specifically?
We will get to the Libra energy a little later when we get to Neha's rising sign, just to give you a preview of what's to come. But for now, we're going to start with some music to convey this new moon in Libra, and we'll talk a little bit about why we picked that song. So here we go.
I walk by just an invitation would have been just fine.
All right, welcome back. Angela, would you tell us a little bit about the song choice of Stevie Nicks' Stand Back for our new moon in Libra?
Yes, so you were asking about what the new moon in Libra symbolizes, and something that I've learned recently with having a friend with a birthday who's a Libra sun. We were talking about how much Libras care about fairness and justice, and if we're taking our sadness into action with this new moon, we are trying to seek out how to right the wrongs that have been done. And I feel like we've been dealing with a lot of wrongs in our lives on just different levels. And so, Stevie, I really love the song by Stevie Nicks, because the lyric, like, "No man calls my name," is really interesting when you think about how she wrote this on her wedding night.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I feel like she's taking a stand, or is trying to seek out independence and justice, and kind of trying to figure out this, like, push and pull between, like, the binary. Because I feel like when we talk a lot about Venus and stuff, Venus moving from moving into Scorpio, I think. This is a whole other thing.
Yeah, this is going back to last week's episode.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're still in the retrograde, so it's kind of, it's not like masculinity versus femininity, but it's about, like, how Venus is all about, like, looking for togetherness. Mars is all about separation, and this is also happening under the new moon in addition to, like, everything else. This is getting a little convoluted, but
I was wondering what you meant by binary. Are you talking about, like, the Venus-Mars binary?
Yeah.
And the fact of those planets being in square right now, I believe.
Yeah.
Which, like, is a signifies, like, conflict between those energies.
Yeah. And Mars is, like, masculine, Venus is feminine. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. But enough about the new moon. We've talked a lot about that. Do you want to keep going?
I was just going to see if Neha wanted to react at all to some of the things you were saying about what it means for the new moon to be in Libra. So thinking about, like, a new moon in this sign that symbolizes, like, justice, fairness, like, deep sort of, like, thought.
Well, you guys are talking a lot about, like, wrongs that have happened, and we've seen just, like, the news has just been, like, terrible for a lot of people.
Yes.
And I think that people hold out on hope, though, and that's the only thing that, like, gets people through. So it sounds like this is a really good way to kind of, like, talk about that. Like, what's the next step? What's the action we're going to take? Based on anything, whether it's at the personal level or your family or more political also.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And for our listeners who aren't going to listen to this episode until March of 2025, Justice Kavanaugh was confirmed to the Supreme Court just a couple of days ago. And so I think a lot of us are doing some deep reckoning with what that means, you know, in the face of sexual assault allegations of several women. I think that is certainly landing really hard on me and on a lot of people that I know, and I think on many of our students. I haven't, you know, I don't know to what extent they're wanting to, like, bring that up in class or anything, but I definitely feel that, the heaviness of that in the air.
So,
let's move on.
Let's move on to Neha's chart. Get a little
I'm excited to move on to Neha's chart.
So this is our first time having a guest in the studio. We're still trying to iron out some of the wrinkles of our transitions. And Neha's sun is in Virgo. And so we're going to play a song that she chose to reflect her sun in Virgo. And we're going to talk a little bit about that song and why that is when we get back. Neha, can you tell us what that song was and why you picked it for your son in Virgo?
That is Prince, Erotic City. And I picked it because I got instructions that the that the sun sign song should be kind of representative of your ego, right? And your and what makes you get up and what makes you want to like be energetic and dance and stuff like that. And so this song, actually, I love this song so much. One of the reasons that it's just stuck in my head since college is because where I went to college at Wesleyan University, there was a DJ that would play our campus parties. Mm-hmm. And you always knew it was the last song because his last song was always Erotic City. Mm-hmm. And I the very first time I heard it, I was like, what is that song? Because it just is so catchy and so amazing. And of course, Prince is so amazing. So that's why I chose this song.
Sweet. Angela, what do you think comes to mind to you when you think about who are the Virgos in your life?
My brother's a Virgo. Neha's a Virgo. I feel like we've become good friends.
Yeah.
I don't really have beyond that. There are people that I've known who are Virgos, but I am not very close to them. Like we should get along, but we don't. Yeah. Neha's the exception for what I can think of right now. Someone's gonna come up to me after they listen to this and be like, I'm a Virgo.
You just didn't know.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are Virgos.
Yeah, I know a lot of Virgos.
I mean, it makes sense because people are kind of getting it on around like the holidays, right?
Yeah. So a lot of people are born
in August and September. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me.
Do you find a lot of academics that are Virgos?
I don't really ask my colleagues what their birthdays are, but I do notice that when I'm asking people what their birthday is, like there's a lot more people that are born towards the end of August and beginning of September than, or maybe I'm just perceiving it that way, being it that it's my ego.
Yeah.
It could also be, maybe it's field dependent.
Like more anthropologists are... Virgos, but Neha just said that she like doesn't talk to a lot of like academics about what their birthdays are. It's just like other like.
So we gotta. I mean, we need to have more guests before we can do a field experiment.
Yeah.
Observation.
Neha, when you were doing your chart on the website that we sent you, what was your? Can you talk about a little bit what your reaction to reading about your son in Virgo was? If you remember anything.
Yeah, it was. I've never read that deeply about like what a Virgo is, so I had always come into it thinking, okay, Virgos are really like meticulous and like to have all of their stuff in order and are a little stubborn, I think, right? And perfectionist, and like I could see a lot of that in the way that I like maneuver in life. Mm-hmm. But then there was other stuff that was in the chart. One of the things that was really interesting was that it says that you constantly want to find the thing that like you're obsessed with and that you that like drives you, and that Virgos often end up starting things and then not seeing them through because they turn to the next thing, and also that Virgos tend to be more thought and less action, and they reside kind of cerebrally, and it's and therefore they're a little more surface in terms of like getting things done. And I could totally see that.
Yeah, whoa, that surprises me. I didn't know any of those things about Virgos, but you felt like that like resonated with you?
Yeah, it did. I mean, especially the kind of like wanting to find a hobby and not really knowing which one you like, and nothing's like really catching your attention, and then, oh, there's something shiny over there. Let me go check that out.
yeah, totally.
And also the being very cerebral, I think that's part of how I spend a lot of time reading, and I spend a lot of time thinking about the news, and I spend a lot of time ranting about the news, but it's rare that I will actually get off my desk chair and like go and do something. Yeah. And that's something that has always really bothered me about myself, and it kind of like clicked into place like when I read the thing.
Whoa, interesting. Okay.
Cool. Are there things that you don't think apply to you as a person when you're reading about this?
They said said, one of the things that it said was, you know, that whole perfectionist thing. But I feel like perfectionist is one of those things that, like, it can come out in so many different kinds of ways, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't tend to be so, like, as meticulous as I think the stereotypical Virgo
sure.
is. I do have a really messy way of living. Like, I'll throw my clothes on the floor and then they'll just sit on the floor for weeks.
Sure.
And I don't put things away. But at the same time, I kind of feel like I have the opposite thing also, where, like, I always, everything has to have a place. I just am too lazy to put it in its place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that there's that kind of like duality, you know, and also no one can touch my stuff that's out of place. Even if it's a mess, no one can touch it.
Yeah, because then you wouldn't know what happened.
Yeah, so even my chaos is organized.
Yeah. Okay, Rachel, sweet. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the Virgo sign and what that is?
Oh, sure, the sign of Virgo. Yeah, so Virgo is an earth sign, and we haven't talked too much about earth signs yet. The earth signs are Virgo, Capricorn, and help.
I don't remember the
Taurus.
Third one.
Taurus.
And earth signs tend to be very, like, practical, stable. Like, people, like, I go to my earth sign friends when I want, like practical advice on a, like, dad relate, like, kind of like dad advice. I don't know, like, finances or like
no, that's good, because Virgo's like, people really trust their judgment too.
Yeah.
Because you're so intelligent and very, if not practical, you're rational, and you kind of use reason to reason more than, like, emotions to get to
make choices.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, and I think of earth signs as being, like, grounded people. I don't know. I think
way?
These are all, like, generalizations. Yeah, I mean, I think the Virgo or the earth signs in my life have been, like, the rocks, like, the friend that, like, even if I don't talk to them for, like, 6 months, they're definitely gonna, like, pick up my call and wanna engage with me, and, like, so I think. I think earth signs in my life have been, like, very, like, loyal friends, and very trustworthy. Virgo is also, in terms of some of the themes that we've been talking about before, it's a mutable sign, so it's flexible, adaptable, can adjust to circumstance, which is kind of an interesting thing to think about in juxtaposition to, like, that earthiness, where I think of the other earth signs as really, like, stubborn, don't want to move, like, feet planted in the ground firmly. And I think, I wonder if, being a mutable, earth sign might, lend a little bit more, like, flexibility or a little bit more room for influence from other signs.
Yeah. Do you see that in your life in terms of needing stability yet needing to travel?
Yeah. I mean, right when Rachel was talking about it, I was thinking about travel like that.
Yeah.
Even though change doesn't really work that well for me. Like, every time a semester ends, I have a couple weeks of, like, feeling down in the dumps, and, like, it takes a while to, like, get my routine back. But I still also have this, like, urge to change all the time. Like, so, and a lot of that manifests in, okay, I'm feeling really antsy because I haven't gotten on a plane in, like, 3 months, and, like, when am I going to go to the next place I'm going to go? Because this is, like, so I'm kind of a, it's a contradiction. I'm very much, like, a person who's about routine and about being, like, the boring person that stays at home and stuff like that. But then at the same time, I constantly want something else also, so.
Yeah, interesting, yeah. What a great segue to talking about your moon sign.
Yes.
So why don't we have a little song break, and then we'll come back to talk about Neha's moon in Sagittarius.
Still a little bit of your taste in my mouth. Still a little bit of you. is going on? There's still a little bit of your ghost, your witness. There's still a little bit of your face I haven't kissed. You step a little closer each day, that I can't say what's going on. Stones taught me to fly. Love, it taught me to lie. Life, it taught me to die. So it's not hard to fall when you flow like a cannon ball. Still a little bit of your song in my ear. There's still a little bit of your words I long to hear. You step a little closer to me, so close that I can't see what's going on. And stones taught me to fly. Love, it taught me to lie. Life taught me to die. So it's not hard to fall when you float like a cannon. Stones taught me to fly. Love, it taught me to cry. Come on, courage, teach me to be shy. 'Cause it's not hard to fall, and I don't want to scare her. It's not hard to fall, and I don't want to lose. It's not hard to grow when you know that you just don't know.
That was Cannonball by Damien Rice to reflect Neha's moon in Sagittarius. So the moon represents your inner self, or your inner, not ego, but how you feel when you're alone. Can you tell us a little bit about why you picked that song?
Yeah. This song to me is one of the few songs that elicits a lot of emotion. And so I listen to it when I'm sad. Especially if I'm sad over a significant other. And it to me really is like, the lyrics are really representative of the way that I have a lot of different emotions that can be inside me at the same time, and how I like can get like very emotional sometimes. And so, yeah, that's why I chose it.
Cool. cool. I think of Sagittarius as being like the rock and roll sign in a way, because they're kind of a loose cannon. If you want to get into the cannonball thing, you like can't. They're a really they're a driving force and cannot be reckoned with. And at least for me, as an Aries, that's how I feel about them. I hold them in high regard.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. When Nehaz was like, my moon is in Sagittarius, I was like, oh my gosh, me too. So like a couple weeks ago, I had talked about the Sagittarius moon as being the side of me that like wants to go on road trips all the time and that gets like sort of like inspiration to be sort of like fleeting and like get out there. And I don't know. Let's see. The
moon kind of modifies your sun sign in very specific ways, so it's a little different for everyone depending on which sign, which is your rising sign. And so specifically I read that the sun, if your sun is an earth sign like Virgo, the moon kind of lends common sense with your lofty creative outlook.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because I've always felt like there's a, like, I'm not fully a Virgo. Like, there's some kind of, like, there's another side of me that, like, likes to party and is really dramatic is really doesn't think before making actions, particularly if I'm, like, shopping. For example, I bought a car on Monday with money I don't have. But that's the kind of stuff that I do. I'm just really impulsive about stuff sometimes. So it didn't. I always thought that was because I was on the cusp of Leo in Virgo.
Oh, I didn't realize you were on a cusp.
But this makes sense more.
We have not talked about cusps yet. I don't know if we'll get there today. There's some controversy around.
There's some controversy, yeah. We could put that in the bike rack for later, maybe.
Around the dates, right?
Yeah. I mean, specifically, do cusps exist or not?
That's the question. Yeah, that's basically it, I think.
But I thought there was, like, maybe a couple years ago, there was some kind of thing that said that the dates that we think are the dates of the
of the entire zodiac
are not the actual dates if you take into account like that extra
I remember
bit of
what
time.
You're talking about too.
So what it means is that I think from like a very specific date onward there will be the inclusion of a 13th sign.
Really?
But that is like very far into the future, and that's like a whole different thing, because that has to rewrite, or we have to like create a lot of room for that. And I'm not even.
That's funny that you bring that up. That was like before I remember that happening, and it was before I was like paying a lot of attention to like astrology. So I like it just sort of let it like glide over me. And I think that everybody was like, there were some like articles that came out that were like, your sign is actually one sign off, and I was like, oh, am I actually a Taurus? Yeah, sure. Shrugs. Makes sense. It was, like, before that I, like, paid that much attention to anything, so.
Yeah. But what I really like about looking at the sun, moon, and rising is that you can kind of, you can contextualize or narrow down much more in much more fine ways sort of your characteristics or traits or kind of, like, how you approach different aspects of your life.
Yeah, totally. So I love that you talked about, like, buying a car and the modifiers that Angela had been talking about earlier, like how the moon can, like, kind of modify the sun, might be, for in this instance, like, adventurous, optimistic, open-minded, a little bit restless or extravagant. And so you were just at the end of, when we were at the end of talking about your Virgo, you're talking about, like, the need to travel and the need to kind of, like, move sometimes, and that, like, sort of resonated a lot with me. And then, like, at times, the sort of dark side can be irresponsible or a little careless.
Or I think that can keep temper, like, my judgmental side and my, like, really, like, perfection, like, nitpicky side, you know.
Totally.
That I just, but.
Yeah, that sounds like a really nice balance in some ways.
I guess so. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, that too. I think, like, It's funny to talk to people who have their sun and moon that have like really different characteristics, because I think sometimes, and that's true for me too, but I think sometimes it can feel really like, wow, I'm like so balanced and like well adjusted and I have all of these aspects of me and they just balance each other out. And other times it can feel like my left shoulder and my right shoulder are fighting with each other and they're yelling and all I can hear in my head is like the yelling.
I mean, it's interesting because I never do well on those personality tests and like and all of that, because I can see being any answer. Do you know what I
mean?
I mean,
sure.
I know those tests are also flawed, but and I also, when people will say, "Oh, you're an extrovert," I'll be like, "No, I'm totally an introvert." Like half the time, so it's kind of like I'm both, and I don't really meet people that are both things at once very often.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. I think that we need to move on and talk about sort of return to our conversation of Libra and talk about Neha's Libra rising. First, a song break.
Cindy, mama, you understand that?
No.
Well, like, I don't understand how you can, because, like, I've been to, you know, Paris, Beirut, you know, I've been to Iraq, Iran, Eurasia, you know, I speak very, very fluent Spanish. Todo está bien chévere. You understand that?
Bien chévere.
Bien chévere. Is that right, mama? Yeah, because I got my shaking room on the little thing.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing, don't you worry about a thing, mama, 'cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. Your style of life's a drag, and that you must go other places. But just don't you feel too bad when you get fooled by smiling faces. But don't you worry about a thing, don't you worry about a thing, mama, 'cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it. Don't you worry about a thing.
All right, welcome back. You just listened to Stevie Wonder, Don't You Worry About a Thing. Neha, could you tell us a little bit about why you chose that song?
I chose it because you guys wanted a song that was like how you look at the world or how you want to look at the world, right? Mm. And this song really reminds me of the morning, because for a really long time in my 20s, this is a song that we would, this song and other Stevie Wonder songs, we would like start the day on the weekends. It started with my housemates in college, and then I continued the tradition on my own. And it just has this like really kind of upbeat, energetic sort of feel to it. A lot of Stevie Wonder songs from that time period. And they just make me happy and feel good about the day.
Yeah. And so to remind the listeners at home, your rising sign is, how is this calculated, Rachel? I'm just keep diverting to you.
Yeah, it's the sign that was rising over the horizon at the moment that you were born, where you were born. So it's, it has to do with geography. It will change based on where you are geographically. And, also it will change every 2 hours, like, just in time, so it varies a lot.
And I like the idea that you start the day off with Stevie Wonder in the song, because I think it speaks to sort of the optimism that Libra has, or like makes up some of the traits in Libra, right?
Yeah, totally. When I was that was the immediate connection that I made too, is that like sort of spirit of optimism. Do you feel like that speaks to you at all?
I feel like I wish I approached the world that way. I don't necessarily. I tend to be much more of a Virgo in the way that I approach the world, like having anxiety and you know, overthinking things. Mm-hmm. But this is like, you know, when you're listening to music like this, you kind of like can get lost in it. And like like it is very, you can't be unhappy after listening to some Stevie Wonder.
I agree. Oh, love it.
Yeah.
So a little bit in terms of like what Libra is, we'll see if you agree with any of these aspects. So it is, it's a masculine sign in terms of where you derive your energy from. So you like getting your energy from the outside world. We, during our song break, we talked a little bit about, you know, personality tests and being an extrovert versus being an introvert. And I feel like a Libra is where you might get that you might be perceived as an extrovert to others, or based on your responses, because this is also kind of the mask that you put out into the world as well. So people might see you as intellectual or communicative because you are this is an air sign. Can you tell us a little bit about what air signs are? What that means?
Air signs? Yeah, totally.
I don't remember. We can also.
Yeah. Sure. Air signs have a reputation for being really thoughtful and really up in, like, literally, like, up in the clouds. And so, like, Gemini, the air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius, in spite of the name Aquarius. And they just tend to be, like, thoughtful, maybe intellectual, maybe, like, very creative, lots of, like, reading and thinking. Signs.
Yeah. So your sun in Virgo and your Sag and your moon in Sag are both mutable signs, whereas your Libra is a cardinal sign, which I found to be an interesting difference. I think it kind of balances you out, where the mutable signs are the flexible, versatile, adaptable aspect of you. The cardinal sign is much more fixed. Right?
The cardinal sign is like the initiator. So it's not the same thing as a fixed sign, I don't think.
No, it's not.
I had to convince myself about this because I felt really, because I actually got stuck on this point a couple weeks ago when I was looking up stuff. Mm-hmm. The signs can be mutable, fixed, or cardinal.
Oh, that's right.
And
so
the cardinal is kind of like in between mutable and fixed, I think. And the cardinals are like initiators. So like good at like starting things.
We start off the seasons. That's right. Because Aries starts off spring. Cancer starts off summer. Libra begins the fall. So that's why when you were talking earlier about being like
a morning song.
Yeah. A morning song. And then speaking to your Virgo or speaking about your Virgo, you really enjoy starting projects, maybe more so than finishing. That might also be your rising at work, too. What else? Rising Libras or Libra is has a Venus ruler, so that's all about pleasure and money. That's what we talked about last week. Do you like being in love?
Yes, I do.
Do you like money?
Who doesn't?
I think we talked a lot about that. Is there anything else about that you want to talk about? What I really like about reading about Libras is that they don't really have to struggle to find success. Like, success really finds them. And through the things that you explore in your life, whether that is, like, through relationships, professional partnerships, your job, or traveling, you seem to have good luck. Does that speak to you or resonate at all?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I feel like I don't necessarily have to work super hard to get the outcomes that, like, I see other people, like, really struggling to do. But it's really interesting that you said that, because my brother is a Libra. Mm-hmm. And all of the things you said are completely him. Like, things coming really easily. Like, he's the kind of person who, like, I used to hate it when we were growing up. He's the little brother. I always felt like it was like, why does everything come so easily to you and I have to work so hard for it?
Interesting.
But he's the kind of person who can, like, just decide to take the MCAT and, like, get a really high score. is very successful in life. And I don't really feel like it's from, like, struggling that much.
It is such an old sibling thing to say.
And also he's very much into, like, being flashy and spending money and stuff like that, which I'm not as much into. Mm-hmm. But I can see how we both are about that a little bit.
Your Virgo might keep you a little more conservative with that.
Yeah.
I do want to speak to your success, or something that I observed over the summer, because we started doing, you know, these work days. We would go to Bethlehem, work at the joint. And randomly one day you were like, I got a book done. And I was like, what? How? When?
Because I had two co-authors. They were the reason.
Yeah, but you said it felt like you wrote it and you felt like it wasn't work.
Yeah, and it did.
Even with co-authors, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I think, like, the one thing that I'm super passionate about is my career. And so I don't feel like it takes – I feel like I figured out how to do things and get things published and get things finished with the least amount of effort, where I see other people, like, really struggling to do certain things like that, right? I don't know how to lose a pound. Other people can do that. But, like, I'll just, like, spin my wheels, and I see other people spinning their wheels around, like, around professional stuff.
Yeah. I really do love coming to you for advice. Like, I had a question – about, like, how do I get my own writing started? And you were like, put everything in a calendar, get this organized. Have you thought about this? And I was like, please tell me more, because I just want to learn more about your process, because it did not look like mine at all.
I mean, I think this is probably the Virgo part, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I love having a calendar. I love putting things in a calendar. I love crossing things off in the calendar. I love balancing my checkbook. I love paying the bills. And one of the things that it said in there is that when I don't remember in what place, but it said that you really like paying the bills. And I'm like, I do.
Yeah.
It's been really lovely to have you here. I've enjoyed our time together.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me. It was a lot of fun.
How do you feel now that we've finished this?
I feel like a lot of it makes sense. The only thing I sometimes wonder is, like, would every sort of, like, write-up...
Oh, totally.
Would I find something to make sense in it? Yeah. But I do know, like my ex-husband is an Aquarius, and mm-hmm. there's nothing in that sign that, like, when I read it, I go, this is me, you know? But yeah. he's, like, he's a musician and is very, you know, kind and, like, warm and will do anything for anybody. And the... I won't.
Yeah. Well, that's so funny because I often think about that too, but it's like the unanswerable question because you like don't know what it would be like to like not be you or like to have like it's like unanswerable because it's like how would you ever like know?
But then the other question is like do we then get influenced into acting in a certain way or like or noticing those traits sure. about ourselves more because we've been told that that's what defines you, right?
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Do you define your sign or does your sign define you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You guys need to get a philosophy professor in here next.
Okay. We'll work on it.
We'll work on it eventually. Our next guest is not a philosophy person. We're not going to say who that is. We're going to keep it a great mystery until...
Okay, it's a great mystery.
Yeah. We kept your appearance a great mystery.
Yeah, I tried to give it away, and Angela, like, wouldn't let me.
Because I wanted some fanfare.
Yeah, true. I just don't like surprises, so I always, like... My friends always know, like, if they're going to get a gift from me and exactly what it is. Because I hate surprises.
Is that the Gemini in you, or...?
I don't know.
I can't keep a secret. That's the problem. Like, I'll plan some kind of surprise thing. Yeah. Or, like, I'll buy a gift that I really want to give somebody, and then I can't not tell them what it is.
I love telling people what it is. I like keeping people in suspense.
Okay.
That's my favorite thing.
All right. That's what we're doing.
Until next time.
Our next mystery guest coming soon.
On Chart Toppers at the WJRH studio. In Easton, Pennsylvania, on Lafayette College campus.
See you later.